This season's semi-finals got underway in style, and it's advantage Paris Saint-Germain after the first leg of their tie with Arsenal. Ousmane Dembélé's early goal the difference on an absorbing night in London. They'll take a 1-0 lead back to the French capital as both sides chase that first European crown. A full review coming up, plus we'll look ahead to Barcelona against Inter. That showdown gets underway on Wednesday. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and what an evening of semi-final first leg action we've been treated to. Just the one goal, it finished Arsenal 0, Paris Saint-Germain 1, but some wonderful defending, some huge chances for both teams. And I'm delighted to be joined by the European football expert Kevin Hatchard and match commentator Phil Blacker. Kevin, it was a very early goal. It was a brilliant night. So much quality on show, and we almost forget every season when it gets to the last four, feels like there's an upturn of performance, an upturn of quality. And that was certainly evident between Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain tonight.
Yeah, this is routinely, when we get to the back end of the Champions League, the highest standard of football the sport has to offer. And it keeps getting proven year after year after year in this competition. I think what we've seen in this game is a Paris team that's done so much work to become a cohesive unit, to really understand what the coach wants from them. And Arsenal, for their part, I thought showed that they belong at this level, that they can compete at this level. They are still in this. They are absolutely still in this. Because when you get to the second leg, what you get is all of the psychology of it.
Yeah.
Because if Arsenal get the first goal and they'll back themselves after what they did at the Bernabeu, let's not forget, Paris have never won this competition. It's the competition they desperately want. That first goal goes in for Arsenal. It's a totally different game.
Kevin, you could see, or Phil, I should say, you could see at the end, Paris Saint-Germain players rightly very proud of the performance, had a lovely moment with their travelling support, which was terrific. But it wasn't exuberant celebrations. It was a more, okay, did the job done tonight, still got a huge task. And also you saw from Arsenal, actually, still as they walked off, there was no great heads down dejection. They also know this tie is very much alive ahead of the second leg.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah, it was job done tonight for Paris, but certainly not yet job done in this tie. And they know how much work will still be ahead of them. There'll be frustration for them that they haven't scored a second goal, given how close Barkley came and the one that hit the bar from Ramos as well. But equally, Donnarumma with some big saves. We saw a wonderful goal early in the game, both in terms of the execution from Dembélé, but the 26 passes that preceded it. And I thought at that stage we were going to see a fair few more, but for some excellent goalkeeping, some diligent defending, the merest of offside decisions, correct call that denied Marino, and what a different second half it might have been had Arsenal scored that one just a couple of minutes into it. It was fascinating throughout, but there was certainly enough in the game to suggest that it could be a role reversal next week. There isn't too much between the teams.
Well, let's hear how that first leg unfolded. In London, Arsenal against Paris Saint-Germain, a repeat actually of a match in the league phase, which Mikel Arteta's team won 2-0. Kevin and Phil watched this semi-final first leg.
Kvaratskhelia, Scalia, edge of the penalty area, taking on Timber, cutting it back, and the opening goal is in from Dembélé, and Paris in front with less than 3.5 minutes played. It will come all the way through, though, to Désiré Doué. Good shot. Right-footed. Down goes Raya to his right to make the save. And now Fabian Ruiz hits the post with the goalkeeper beaten, and it bounces out again. And now there's a flag up far side. A roar of relief, really, from David Raya and from Arsenal. Trossard tries to hold it up. Saka again forces his way past a couple of challenges into the penalty area. Oh, delivers the cross left-footed. And on the stretch, Gabriel Martinelli can't quite reach it in front of goal. Flung himself at that. Nearly, but not quite for Arsenal, who are getting closer. Rice on the move again. It's a lovely, strong, surging run. Slips it through for Trossard. Into the penalty area. Brilliant save. Donnarumma got his left hand to it as Trossard tried to put it to his left. And that's outstanding from the goalkeeper. And they need a big ending to it if they're to go to Paris, at least back on terms. They could be two behind here because just a fraction wide of that far post. Huge chance for Paris to double their lead. It fell at the feet of Bradley Barcola.
Yeah, more than 60 attacks between them and 21 total attempts. But ultimately, the goal after only 4 minutes is the difference for Paris Saint-Germain to take to the second leg in the Parc des Princes. Let's go through the tail of the tape and let's dissect that goal, because it was worthy of winning semi-final first leg. The finish from Dembélé, Phil, but you mentioned it, 26 passes, is
26,
that right?
26, I'm told, yeah.
And surely the best of those was Nuno Mendes in the left-back position, beating the entire Arsenal press with a, almost like you'd take a corner, whipped ball into central midfield for Dembélé. And that was the moment that Arsenal were undone, and from then on it was perfection from Paris.
Yeah, they were out of position, weren't they, chasing back after that. Dembélé heavily involved in the build-up. He's the one that then set off on that surge through the middle. And Kvaratskhelia, who was on the end of his pass, able to return it to him when he was lurking with intent on the edge of the penalty area. And the finish as well was precision in off the far post. It was pretty much the only place that he could have put it and scored that goal, just out of the reach of David Raya. And what, 3.5 minutes into the game, it was some statement, wasn't it, and some standard set from Paris Saint-Germain. They were brilliant in the early stages. To say they were the first to settle is an understatement, and of course at that stage it looked like they were swarming all over Arsenal, and credit to the home team for the way that they did recover some composure and a foothold in the game, because that was brilliant from the start.
26 passes, also apparently that is the most on record for Paris in a Champions League match since 2003-2004. So it was a goal of real beauty.
It was a Luis Enrique goal, because all of the things he preaches were on show. So the first thing is the rotations, the passing. There's always a free man to send the ball to. There's always at least one or two options for the guy on the ball. That three-man build-up that they have, where they send Hakimi up the right-hand side and Nuno Mendes tucks in, that gives you angles to play through the press. That's what that's all about. And also it shows Dembélé's ability nowadays to really channel his energy and channel his efforts, because he comes all the way back, makes the option. He's the spare man. They find him. He gets things moving, finds Kvaratskhelia. And then when it comes back to Dembélé, it's one of the central tenets of Luis Enrique football. If you can find space on the edge of the box, we will always try and cut that ball back to you if we can. And that's exactly what they did. And while Arsenal were racing back into the penalty area to firefight, Dembélé just stood there and waited. And when it came his way, perfect finish. And that's the finish of a man who scored pretty much a goal a game since the turn of the year. It was a terrific finish and just a really good team goal.
And Phil, you were picking out some quotes pre-match, actually, about the fact that when they met in the league phase in London, he was left out by Luis Enrique. And in terms of his development since then, and I think Enrique himself kind of alluding to the fact that he believes that that night, actually, and him not playing, has been quite central to this blistering run of form that he's currently on.
He's called it, I think, at the time, or in hindsight, the best decision that he's made all year was to leave Dembélé out of the squad that night. And, of course, it wasn't a decision without risk. It could have backfired when dealing with a big name in this team. But Dembélé's response has been absolutely brilliant. He was back in the side, I think, a week later in Liga. And looking back on it now, his omission that night has been something of a turning point in his season. His stats, as Kev mentioned, certainly since the turn of the year, a goal a game, 25 in 25. 21 goals he scored already in Liga this season after just 3 goals last season. There's been a tweak to his role, playing more centrally under Luis Enrique this season. But I think that was the statement that the coach made. And you look at the effect that it's had on Dembélé, but I'm sure it would have had an impact on his teammates as well. There's this team ethos now at Paris. Everybody knows what they have to do and what happens if they don't do it, and they've all bought into it. And that decision, I think, and the ramifications, the headlines that it made at the time, I think that's really been significant.
I think it dovetails with their evolution as a football club in the last couple of years, or couple of seasons under Luis Enrique, because Paris have had at their disposal at various times some of the best players of the 21st century. They've had Neymar, they've had Messi, they've had Mbappe. You can win leagues like that. You can win domestic trophies like that. What they've realised is you cannot necessarily win the Champions League like that, because the way modern football has gone, it has to be. And those players are phenomenal players, Neymar, Mbappe and Messi, but there has to be balance. And that's what they've realised, I think, Paris, that there's a real team ethic. You've got these young and hungry players who are really keyed into what the coach wants. And nobody, there's no hierarchy in the sense that they all work in this machine. Machine is the word that Luis Enrique uses so often. I want you to be a machine. I want you all be parts of the same thing. I think we've seen that in this Champions League. I think they're better set up now than they've ever been to win this competition.
So they're 1-0 up thanks to that early goal. Then we saw a really good save from David Raya to deny Désiré Doué with a kind of snapshot towards the near post. Second half of the first period, though, Arsenal, having weathered the storm and maybe stayed in the tie in that period, actually, as good as Paris Saint-Germain were, started to themselves have a few moments. And that kind of continued into the second half when they thought they'd equalised through Mikel Moreno's header. And it was the tightest of margins. Correctly, thanks to semi-automated offside, we've seen the replays, but so close to being 1-1.
It was. It was absolutely indisputably the correct call, but it was difficult to tell at the time with all the defence moving one way, the Arsenal players moving the other way. And it was so close in every sense, because that would have made a massive difference. And that was the way, I think, that Arsenal had seen from that spell that you talked about later in the first half when they did get a foothold in the game. They sensed that those balls into the box from set pieces in particular, winning it in the air, was where they were going to impose their authority in the game, where they were going to get back into the game. And they highlighted in that moment exactly how it could be done. They weren't quite able to reap the reward of that because of the merest of margins that we were talking about in the offside call. But had Mikel Merino just managed to stay on, you know, and again, we're talking tiny margins here, and that goal stood, It could have been a very different story in the second half. They underlined exactly how they could get back in the game, but ultimately they weren't quite able to do it.
There is a physical mismatch. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at Paris, they're an incredibly technical team, incredibly hard-working team. They are largely a small team. Yeah. Obviously, Marquinhos is great in the air, but they don't have many who are going to go and dominate aerial duels.
Well, if you take the midfield threes, for example, who began, and João Neves, Vitinha, Fabian Ruiz, we'll get onto them in a moment. They are an utter joy to watch. Yeah. But
they need ladders to deal with Marino.
Height-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
And Rice. And, yeah. I mean, even Mertin Ødegaard, who's not the biggest. He's probably taller than all three of the Paris Saint-Germain starting midfielders.
So I think that's important going forward to the second leg, because every time Arsenal get a set piece around the Paris box, they will feel, especially with the way that they design set pieces, they do it brilliantly, as well as anybody, maybe better than most, to be honest. They'll feel they can do damage, because the other thing as well is that Donnarumma is one of the best shot stoppers in the sport. He's phenomenal for such a big guy.
We'll get onto him in a moment as well.
So well. But if he has a weakness, that's maybe it, that he's not the most commanding, he doesn't like coming through traffic, doesn't really like to come and punch. And so that's, I think, where Arsenal can do some damage.
There was a moment, I think, just after the Marino header, when Arsenal got a free kick inside their own half. And anyone who's ever watched Arsenal, probably since Arsene Wenger took over, they would always kind of take that short and look to build through the thirds. But everybody left, and Raya actually took it long into the penalty area, as if maybe at halftime Mikel Arteta had said, actually, do you know what? We are getting very little out of trying to play through them. Let's look at that avenue where we know that we have that height advantage.
And they had Marino and Kvaratskhelia in a one-on-one there at the far post.
Yeah.
And everyone in the stadium knew it was going to Marino. Ooh. But he still, because the timing of his run is so good, was still able to get free.
Right, Donnarumma, because how crucial, in terms of the first leg, and who knows the tie, the save from Leandro Trossard, who was through on goal, left-footed, didn't do much wrong, cut it across him, and Donnarumma used every millimetre of that giant frame field to get down and and tip it just past the post.
That was the one, wasn't it? That was a world-class stop from Donnarumma, and that is why he is there, and that's why Paris are in the position that they are in, or one of a number of reasons, but certainly an important one. We saw, again, his value, well, in the penalty shootout, going back to the round of 16 at Anfield, some saves that he made when it looked like the game against all the odds was getting away from them at Aston Villa in the second leg of the quarter-final. And again, in a contest as tight as this one was at that stage, in those major moments, he came up big again. And yet you're not surprised, are you? Because he has done it so often. He is such a good shot stopper. But that was a sensational save. Trossard, as you say, he didn't do anything wrong. It was heading for the far corner. He put it where he wanted to put it, and Donnarumma got down and denied him. And you know, there aren't many that get the better of that particular goalkeeper in that sort of situation, which, given how the odds were stacked against him, is saying something.
And the Martinelli save is just real game intelligence from Donnarumma, because he just reads the intention. He's like, I'm onto you, you're going to try and put it far post. He reads it and he's halfway across before it's even left the boot. So that's a really good save. What was interesting about both incidents, actually, they came from driving runs from midfield. The first was Lewis Skelly, who got away from Hakimi, who couldn't touch him because he was already on a yellow. The second one was from Rice. Now, because Thomas Partey wasn't involved, Rice had to play a bit deeper, couldn't make those driving runs. I wonder at the Parc des Princes if we're going to see a bit more of Declan Rice driving through midfield.
And potentially a bit more of Mikel Moreno back as that kind of false nine centre forward.
Quite possibly, yeah, where he's so effective. But having said that, he was able to do a lot of that from the position in, he was operating in. And I thought Trossard had a good game as well. I think he was involved in a lot of Arsenal's better moments.
Movement was really good.
And you felt, I mean, Mikel Arteta over the last week actually had been talking about to all of the Arsenal fans. They put out a social media video just before kickoff, him saying, we need everybody from minute one. And you felt if Arsenal got the equaliser, they might actually really go on and score a couple of quick fire and suddenly be ahead in the tie. But having not got that equaliser, Paris Saint-Germain then had some huge opportunities to go more than one goal up, which, again, we might be talking next Wednesday. Who knows how the second leg goes, but maybe we'll be looking back on those opportunities to make it 2-0, and they really would have been in control.
I think you're spot on, because I think what Paris did brilliantly was in the first 20 minutes, they took all of that energy out of the stadium, because they just ran at Arsenal constantly. And what they never got, which is what they got against Real Madrid with Declan Rice's first free kick, definitely the second one, they got that spark.
Yeah.
And it set the place alight. That never happened, because the Marino one could have been it, but it was offside, so obviously it doesn't count. But they never quite got that moment where you could put Paris on the back foot and say, oh, OK, we're in trouble here. And as Arsenal grew into the game and pushed forward, Arsenal had those Paris had those chances. Barcola just wide, Ramos off the bar. I think if he believed that he was onside, he might have chosen a different finish. I don't think he realised. I think he thought, oh, everybody stopped, so I'll just hit this with the toe and hit the bar. I think if he realises, he just rolls it in the bottom corner.
Absolutely whizzed off his toe as well onto the bar.
Yeah, he still got behind it, didn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think everybody seemed to think at that moment he was offside, and quite possibly he himself as well. It was quite a moment. It could be a really significant moment, of course, next week.
Well, let's hear from the Arsenal goalkeeper, David Raya, now.
We dominated most of the second half. We created the chances. We got a goal disallowed and all that. But I thought it was a really, really good performance from everyone. But the ball didn't go in the back of the net. That's the thing. And we got away with a loss tonight, but with a lot of confidence and a lot of belief to be super convinced to win in Paris on Wednesday.
Excellent display from David Raya. Put you on the spot, gents. Who's going to reach the final then, ahead of this second leg?
Paris. I went with them before, so I'm going to stick with them. But I think Arsenal will believe that they can cause them problems. I think the issue for Arsenal is going to be how dangerous Paris are in transition. I think that's the real problem. Because even if Arsenal get that first goal, you know, there are still going to be moments where Paris are going to be able to cut through them. So I think it will be really tight. I'm really looking forward to it, but I think Paris will see it through.
I think they're in the box seat, certainly, going into that second leg at home. But it's not beyond Arsenal, far from it. And I don't think it's going to be straightforward. There's going to be twists and turns along the way. It won't be a routine Paris progress, but I think they have the quality to take that slender lead and make the most of it. Only just, I'd still edge towards saying it will be Paris in the final.
So Paris Saint-Germain with a one-goal lead ahead of the second leg at home, which is next Wednesday, the 7th of May. And, of course, full match commentary of that game at the Parc des Princes on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Still to come, we'll look ahead to the second semi-final, which gets underway on Wednesday night.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Well, UEFA Champions League Match Day Live is back on air from 8:45 CST ahead of commentary on Wednesday of Barcelona against Inter, the other semi-final. And the last time these two sides met was an absolute cracker.
As Rafinha challenges Federico Di Marco for the ball and keeps it in play right down by the corner flag and finds Sergio Roberto, who flashes it into the middle. Dembele turns it in and Barcelona make the breakthrough. The ball in towards Barella for Inter, who spins and strikes and scores, and it's 1-1. Checo arriving, Lautaro with a shot off one post, off the other post, and in! And Inter lead!
It's now standing goal, Phil, and again it comes from work rate.
Baldi with the cross, nodded down by Lewandowski. Man, have another go, and it takes the swing at it. A touch on the way through, and it ends up in the net. And Barcelona back from the brink. Lautaro Martinez, who rolls it across. Oh, it's there! Inter lead again. It's Gosens off the bench to maybe win the game after all. Barcelona 2, Inter 3. Less than a minute at the 90 to play.
Wow. It would have been so easy to just hold on to that ball, waste a few seconds, get towards the finish line. No. They hit it long. They look for Lautaro Martinez. And that ball across to Gosens is absolutely outstanding.
Inter with everybody back inside their own books. Brilliant ball in. Wonderful header. Oh, Lewandowski again. 3-3. Lewandowski in stoppage time with another equalising goal.
This is why he's arguably the best centre-forward in the world, because when his team needs him, when there's a chance to change the game, he takes it.
You two hawking all the big games in the Champions League over the last couple of years. It was only the group stage, I say only, but I mean, it was a decisive night. Ultimately, Barcelona were knocked out in the group stage and Inter went through. Phil, I mean, it was one of those nights when it finished 3-3. It might have been 6-all. Who knows? It was great entertainment.
It was fabulous entertainment. It really was. It was one of those nights where, regardless of the implications, and they were significant, as you've alluded to already, as a standalone spectacle, it was just brilliant. It was end-to-end stuff, twists and turns, late drama, Barcelona showing real resilience, even though ultimately, really, they needed to win that game, twice coming back late on to salvage something from it. It was fabulous fare, and it was impossible to predict which way it was going to end up, because they both played such a big part in that drama.
And some of the main protagonists are still there. We know that Robert Lewandowski, unfortunately, is out of the first leg, at least. Lautaro Martinez, you heard, scored. So many of those players, who knows if they'll be looking back, but some will have fonder memories than others going into this semi-final, Kev.
Yeah, and I think Simone Inzaghi won't want a 3-3 necessarily, because he will want a much more controlled performance. But I think what it shows, actually, that game, is how bold Inter can be away from home in this competition. And they've just continued to grow, and they don't shrink from any challenge. I mean, that was still an incredibly talented Barcelona team. Mm. And I think they're even better now. I think the quality they have now is even greater. So I'll be fascinated to see how Inter approach it. But, yeah, I think whether we get six goals or not, we're in for another cracker.
We certainly are. Our reporter, who's lucky enough to be covering this match, is Graham Hunter. I began by catching up with him earlier, chatting about the importance of this tie for Barcelona, a decade on from the last time they lifted the famous trophy.
It's 10 years, you're right, but it's not 10 years since they've played Inter. There have been a couple of ties since. I don't think it's vital to talk about this is the 10th anniversary of the treble that Barcelona won under Luis Enrique. This is a difficult tie to predict, but one to savour, one to really enjoy, I think. I'll admit that having covered Barcelona for many, many, many years, but watched every single game of theirs this season, I had an inkling that maybe this was going to be an Inter triumph across two legs, Chris. Because Inter are so hard-bitten, well-drilled, there's so many faces from the last time Inter played Barcelona. If you think about Barella, if you think about Bastoni and Di Marco and Calhanoglu, you could keep going for a number more of Inter players who know this turf, who know what it is to beat Barcelona. But there are very few in the Barcelona side who can claim the repeat thing.
Could be another historic treble, of course, for Barcelona this season. What's the view there in terms of drawing Inter? Is this the worst type of team to play? What's the view?
Hansi Flick is a conservative guy when he talks about subjects like this. And I'm not going to try and paraphrase him. Analytically, my view is you probably hit on something. For example, Inzaghi has the 3-5-2 system drilled brilliantly. They play automatically. And Barcelona, given how they play, their reliance on the wings, the space they leave in behind their fullbacks, generally hate playing an effective 3-5-2. The thing that maybe balances it out, Chris, is that Inter, quite patently, if you look at their last three results, they're not at their best. So even if you had Flick on the podcast right now saying, oh, actually, yeah, I'd rather have played Arsenal or PSG. The truth is, right now, in the eve of this game at Montjuic in the Olympic Stadium, he may be looking at Inter and going, fingers crossed, if we're at our best, we might just have caught them when they're not at their best and there's a slight vulnerability. But he wouldn't say that to you, even if he was on the podcast.
No, he wouldn't. And you very rarely get that from any coach nowadays, Graham. You mentioned the stadium there. I know you've been to so many Champions League nights at this kind of home from home whilst the Camp Nou is being renovated. How have they made it their home? Because, of course, I guess that they'd love this type of night to be at Camp Nou.
You're right, they would have. And it has astonished me, genuinely. Montjuic is aesthetically pretty from the outside, but inside there was the fact that the fans are further back. There's barely any roof, so the noise drifts off into the night, and they've embraced it. They've genuinely surprised me. So there's been a making light of having to be nomads and be playing up the hill in a smaller stadium. They've made light of it in a way that I didn't think the club or the players or the fans were capable.
Graham, lovely stuff as ever. Before you go, we need your prediction. For the first leg.
You need it or you want it?
Need and want.
I very rarely say I hate you, but come on, mate, for goodness sake. My guess is 3-2
Barcelona. 3-2
Barcelona.
Graham, if that's correct, you'll be in for an absolute cracker on Wednesday evening. Thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers, Chris.
Always great to hear from Graham. No Robert Lewandowski, as we've mentioned, through injury. Lamine Yamal, by the way, could make his 100th Barcelona appearance. And he's only 17. Simone Inzaghi is saying his team need to be technically perfect. He's confirmed that everyone apart from Benjamin Pavard will be available. There are still question marks over the fitness of Marcus Thuram, though he's missed the last three games with an abductor injury, but has returned to training with the rest of the first team. How about the thoughts of Barcelona head coach Hansi Flick?
Inter is a very difficult opponent. They are defending. I think the defense is one of the best in Europe, but also they know how to build up with the experienced player. They have midfield, really good midfield, and also the two strikers are very strong. So they defend good, but also the transition what they make, it's very dangerous. So it's a tough match, and we have to be prepared well for that.
Well, he's led Barcelona to a brilliant season so far. The first leg of that tie against Inter, full match commentary on Wednesday evening. That semi-final promises much. And of course, the first leg in London was pretty good as well. Before we go, let's just head back to this game. Arsenal losing by a goal to nil against Paris Saint-Germain, whose midfielder Vitinha was the official player of the match.
I want to talk about the team, the very good game that we did. It was a very good and tough match. We knew that it would be like this, but I'm very, very proud of the work of the team. Defensively, offensively, we did a very, very strong match in here, and we showed that we are a very, very good team.
Vitinha there crediting the team, I think showing that spirit in the Paris camp. They'll have a very proud head coach after the first leg, Luis Enrique, but he knows his team will be in for a tough evening in the return.
I think we need to go through that match with the same mentality, and we are going to suffer, we know that. And I hope we can, our supporters in our stadium and with our atmosphere, I think we can go through the final. That's our message, but there is still one match.
Luis Enrique there. Gents, I've asked who you think is going to go through. What's your moment, though, of this first leg? Phil, you first.
I guess I'll go then with the obvious one, the Dembele goal, the 26 passes, the fine finish, set the standard right at the start, and of course it proved to be the winning goal.
I'll have to go for Donnarumma's save from Trossard, which was magnificent, but I'm so tempted to put in about six things that Désiré Doué did across the 90 minutes, but I think I'll have to go for the Donnarumma save.
Yeah, he'll have his own highlights reel. That one when he controlled it down with like crossed legs.
So it, unnecessary. Yeah.
It was really
so
unnecessary.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It was brilliant, exactly. Yeah, he was a star. Paris Saint-Germain winning the first leg by 1-0. Phil, Kevin, thank you very much. Terrific commentary on a top night of Champions League football. Don't forget you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition. We're back 15 minutes ahead of kickoff as Barcelona host Inter in the second semi-final. Make sure you join us for that one. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it is goodbye, and it is advantage to Paris Saint-Germain after the first leg against Arsenal.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.